Moderator, first of all, echoing your earlier words, I should not be here today, not because I was invited to Westminster, but I should be here because our moderator should be here and speaking to you, Lorna Hood. She, of course, has been invited to the same service in Westminster. So I apologise for her absence in these moments, but I suppose that was a slightly higher calling. But on her behalf, I bring to your assembly and to you, moderator, in taking up this office, the good wishes, the greetings and the prayers of the General Assembly of the Church of Scotland. But being given the opportunity to speak today does, however, give me personally a moment to express my own thanks and gratitude and for the prayers and the support of this Assembly. Some of you may have been commissioners to this Assembly 2 years ago when our son John James was injured in Afghanistan while serving with the Royal Marines. And every day from this General Assembly came a message to the hospital in Birmingham that you were praying for us. And that meant a huge amount to us as a family and as part of the church family. I can say to you today, he's doing well. He's recovering well. It's 2 years on since sustaining his injuries, and he's still in the system, but making huge progress. It was 2 years ago when that happened during our own General Assembly. And in the twinkling of an eye, I learned what was the most important property of the life of the church. And that was that the church, as a community of faith, can hold up people when their world crashes down. How it is that when you cannot pray for yourself, other people pray for you and your faith is restored. That it didn't matter then what end of the theological spectrum you came from. You were caught up in that sense of unity, that there was much more which held us together than separated us. And if I might say, revisionists and traditionalists and every hue in between prayed for us, and so did you. Some of you may know that we in the Church of Scotland these days have a little local difficulty. For us, 2 years ago, as I've just described, those difficulties had begun. But in a moment for me, they paled into insignificance when I discovered what the church really was for and what it really was about. But moderator, I want to say this morning that we value our friendship and the relationship that we have with the Presbyterian Church in Ireland. We have learned, and we do learn, a great deal from one another. And it was a great privilege for me earlier this year to be invited to sit as an external assessor in the process to appoint your new principal clerk. And I wish Trevor well as he takes up his important responsibilities. Moderator, in your words of thanks last night to your predecessor, Roy, you spoke warmly of the Presbyterian family. And I know that you meant more than the Irish Presbyterian family. We are part of the same family. Now, I don't know about your family, but in my family, there are times when the cousins can be awkward. And we have troublesome aunts. And we have difficult in-laws. And sometimes they put a strain on family relationships. But we're still family, because blood is thicker than water. And we stick together, and we make arrangements to hold together because peace and unity has its place alongside the differences that would separate us. Now is one of those times within the Church of Scotland family, and now is one of those times within the Presbyterian family worldwide. What happened in our assembly a couple of weeks ago is well summed up by your former moderator, Roy, in his report on our General Assembly in the supplementary reports in Section B. He sums up well the conclusions of the debate that many of you watched on the internet a fortnight past yesterday. But if I could take a moment to sum up how I saw what happened from where I was sitting, and of course this is just the summary of 20 years of conversation in our church about human sexuality. But one ex-moderator, in contributing to the debate, said that the report of our theological commission, which was before our General Assembly, he said, "This report does not speak for me, and it does not speak to me." He criticised the report for presenting what he saw as the polarised arguments on either side of the debate, and somehow or another it missed him, describing himself as belonging to the moderate left or the moderate right. He wasn't sure. Perhaps what he said laid the ground for what happened next. A very last-minute proposal came before the General Assembly in the name of another former moderator. And that was that the Church of Scotland should uphold its traditional belief and understanding in the doctrine of marriage and the practice of and practice in sexual matters. But that somehow or another, over the next couple of years, we should craft a way in which an opt-out would be given to particular Kirk Sessions who wanted to move away from that position. And I can only describe the proposal to do that as being summed up within the report itself as a sort of Gamaliel principle. Let's see what happens in the years ahead. I was listening to the radio this morning and there was a discussion about organ donation and the change in law that might come about here, so that everybody was opted in but some people could opt out. And essentially that was what was being asked for in the Church of Scotland, that we hold to our traditional understanding and position but we make room for some to opt out. So we affirmed the traditional position of the Church. Notwithstanding that, we were asked to devise a way of letting individual Kirk Sessions choose another way. There is a contradiction in terms inside that proposal. But we have lived with contradictions before. Pastoral expediency often clashes with the purity of policy that we lay down for ourselves. It did so many years ago over the remarriage of divorcees in our church, and it has done so again. But essentially, you should know that nothing has yet changed within the Church of Scotland. We only approved a section of deliverance which laid out some principles. And the Legal Questions Committee of our church is being asked to draft a piece of legislation that will come to next year's General Assembly, which attempts to embrace those principles and have them enacted as law within our church. And also we're asking a new body, our Theological Forum, to come forward to next year's General Assembly with a report which hopes to explain or describe how it can be that a church should set down traditional principles and yet have at its heart some significant difference over one particular issue. Those two reports will come to next year's assembly, And if they survive intact, then proposed legislation will go down to our presbyteries under the Barrier Act, and if presbyteries by a majority agree such action, then that will come back to the 2015 General Assembly before it can become the practice of our church. And of course, many things could happen in between, and certainly many different proposals could yet come to next year's General Assembly. My last word to you today is to pray for us. When you have had internal difficulties, and all of our churches do from time to time, you do not expect others to tell you how to deal with them. But we have prayed for you, and you have prayed for others who go through difficult times. Someone said to me the other day, "I wouldn't want to have your job for the next 2 years." And actually, I've said it myself. But I've got the job. And just as you prayed for me and my family 2 years ago, I ask you to pray for me and for our wider family now. And pray. Pray that we may see that there is much, much more that unites us than can ever separate us from our unity in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Amen.